Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, May the 20th. All right, granted, you could walk into most hospitals, and all you'd have to do is ask and be able to pay or find insurance for an abortion, and you could get one. Roman Catholic hospitals are a different story. They've drawn the line on abortion. And one might say, although it may not be completely unheard of, it is rather unheard of for a Roman Catholic hospital to permit an abortion to be performed, and yet one did. And the administrator that permitted the abortion to be performed, a Catholic nun, since excommunicated. Now, we're going to hear the story from National Public Radio, and then I want your answer to the question, should this nun have been excommunicated? There are what some might call extenuating circumstances, mitigating circumstances in this story, but I want you to listen carefully and then answer that question for me. Should this nun have been excommunicated for allowing an abortion at a Roman Catholic hospital? It's audio, open lines, issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Answer our question by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at IssuesETC or leave your answer to the question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Let's get the story from National Public Radio about a nun that was excommunicated for allowing an abortion.
A Catholic nun has been excommunicated. The reason, she allowed an abortion to be performed on a woman who doctors say would have died if she carried to term. Her case is prompting some to ask why this nun is being punished so severely while priests who abuse children are not. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty has the story.
On November 3, 2009, a woman was admitted to St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix. She was 11 weeks pregnant with her fifth child, and she was gravely ill. According to a hospital document, her heart was failing, and her doctors told her that if she continued with the pregnancy, her risk of mortality was, quote, close to 100%. The doctors recommended an abortion, and the patient agreed. But that created a dilemma for the Catholic hospital, says Lisa Soul Cahill, who teaches theology at Boston College.
There was no good way out of it. The official church position would mandate that the correct solution would be to let both the mother and the child die. I think in the practical situation, that would be a very hard choice to make.
Now, I want you to know that this is a hard case, so you need to listen carefully. And then I want to hear what you have to say. She was excommunicated, this nun, for permitting the abortion. We'll get more of the story from National Public Radio here in just a minute. But start thinking about your answer to this question. Should she have been excommunicated for permitting an abortion at this Roman Catholic hospital? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or Twitter us at IssuesETC.
The hospital felt it could proceed because of an exception in Catholic teaching that allows, in some circumstances, treatments that could kill the fetus to save the mother. Sister Margaret McBride, a hospital administrator and its liaison to the Catholic diocese, gave her approval. The patient survived, but when Bishop Thomas Olmsted heard about the abortion, he declared that Sister McBride was automatically excommunicated, the most serious penalty the church can give.
She consented in the murder of an unborn child.
Father John Eric is the medical ethics director for the Diocese of Phoenix.
There are some situations where the mother may in fact die along with her child, but, and this is the Catholic perspective, you can't do evil to bring about good. The end does not justify the means.
He says, of course, the circumstances of this case were difficult.
But there are certain things that we don't really have a choice. You know, I mean, if it's been done and then there's public scandal, the bishop has to take care of that because he has to say, look, this can't happen.
So did the bishop do the right thing? He automatically excommunicated her. This is perhaps the swiftest kind of an indictment of what has happened here. But should it have been done? She might say, I had no choice. I had to save someone. And maybe what I did might have even been wrong, but I had to do it to allow at least someone to survive this. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc.
He clearly had other alternatives than to declare her excommunicated.
Father Thomas Doyle, a canon lawyer, says the bishop could have looked at the situation, realized that the nun faced an agonizing choice, and shown her some mercy. He says this case highlights what he calls a gross inequity in how the church treats scandal. He says no pedophile priests have been excommunicated.
In the case of priests who are credibly accused and are known to be guilty of sexually abusing children, they're, in a sense, let off the hook.
When priests have been caught, Doyle says bishops protected them, and it's taken years or decades to defrock them, if ever.
Yet in this instance, we have a sister who was trying to save the life of this woman, and what happens to her? The bishop swoops down, declares her excommunicated before he even looks at all the facts of the case.
Father Eric of the Phoenix Diocese agrees that abuse cannot be tolerated, but he says neither can Sister McBride's actions.
She said, yes, you can kill that unborn child. That's a heinous act. And I'm not going to make a distinction between what's worse. They're both, you know, abhorrent.
Father Eric says Sister McBride can be admitted back into the Catholic community by going to confession and repenting. She still works at the hospital in another position, and now she's waiting to hear whether she will be expelled from her religious order. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
All right, that's the story from National Public Radio. You've heard it. Now I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Should this nun have been excommunicated for allowing an abortion as an administrator at a Roman Catholic hospital? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. If you'd like to leave your answer to the question at our Facebook fan page, find it facebook.com/issuesetc. I want to hear from you. Should she have been excommunicated? It's one of those, what they call, no-win situations. The mother is too ill to bring the child to term. If she does, perhaps both she and the child will die. The Roman Catholic position on this is really rather clear. Some might consider it heartless, but it's clear that you take that risk, that both might die, or that one might survive. What is not permitted under Roman Catholic teaching and practice, especially in their hospitals, is to perform an abortion. And yet she permitted it to happen so that the mother might survive. And she's excommunicated. Is that the way it should have gone? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Michelle in Cape Girardeau, Missouri asks, so what does excommunication mean? Well, I'm no expert in Roman Catholic canon law, but I do know what excommunication has historically meant in the church. It means, first and foremost, that you are not permitted to receive Holy Communion. You are considered to have committed a sin and remained unrepentant of that sin. Sin does not bar someone from the Lord's Supper, even in Roman Catholic teaching. But unrepentance for this sin certainly does. And normally excommunication is a very, very long multi-step process that requires many attempts to bring about repentance on the part of the offender, and then only at the very end, as the very last resort, is someone barred from receiving the Lord's Supper. And even then, if they repent, they are permitted to come back and receive the Lord's Supper. That's basically what excommunication is. Now, there's another issue at hand here. She might be removed from her order, but that's off to the side. Chris in Sterling Heights, Michigan is on the line. Chris, thanks for waiting.
Yes. I don't know if everything was done that could have saved the mother and the child without that information. I can't really tell whether she should have been excommunicated or not. If both could not have been saved, then I'm not believing in letting the mother die to save it. If both are going to die, then I would rather save the mother than killing both of them.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, and thanks for listening in Michigan. Let's see. Kevin is calling from his car. Kevin, welcome.
Hi. I kind of have a related question. I wasn't clear if they sought second opinions. Were there any other medical alternatives besides an abortion. Did the story explore that, or was that a factor that you know, they moved it to a different hospital, perhaps, with a different specialist that could have handled this?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know about moving her to a different hospital, which was certainly taken it out of the Roman Catholic context and then made it a moot question, at least for this administrator. But as far as I can tell from the story, the doctors concluded the only way for this woman to survive is if the child were aborted, thus terminating the pregnancy, and then the greatest danger would be this woman bringing the child to term and likely dying because of a heart condition in the course of birth. That's as much as we get out of the story. What do you think, Kevin?
I guess it raises the other question. Is it a guarantee that the child would have died? Had the mother gone through with the pregnancy, perhaps she would have lost her life, but at the expense of her life, she could have brought her child into the world.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I think that the scenario here was that both were at risk. The child might have survived, but both were at risk. They felt that the mother definitely would not have survived. Therefore, they recommended the abortion. The administrator said, go ahead. Oliver is listening on the phone as well. Hi, Oliver.
Hello. Yes, I absolutely believe they should have excommunicated her. Liberalism is always trying to get its foot into the door, and it uses these kind of "oh, please feel sorry for me" cases to try and get a greater hold on society. And I think that the nun was, whether she was complicit or whether or not she was inadvertently allowing this to happen, I think that's what she did. And I think they had no other alternative but to excommunicate her just to keep the doctrine pure.
Oliver, thank you very much. We don't know all the details of the story, but we do know that she was summarily excommunicated, that is, without any of the normal process that would be followed according to canon law in the Roman Catholic Church. The bishop simply declared her to be immediately excommunicated without any investigation. When we come back, we'll get more of your answers to the question, should this nun have been excommunicated for permitting an abortion in a Roman Catholic hospital?
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon. We're doing a little audio open lines with you, our listeners. Your answer to the question, should this nun, an administrator at a Roman Catholic hospital, felt herself between a rock and a hard place. A patient there, a woman pregnant with a severe heart condition. The doctors said she will not survive if the child is brought to term. They recommended an abortion. She felt she had no choice and permitted the abortion. The bishop heard about it and summarily excommunicated her. Should she have been excommunicated? My question for you, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Go to our Facebook fan page and you can write out your answer to this question right there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Email us here in the studio. We get it in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Bob in Torrance, California says no. Matthew 18 entails the actions to be taken before excommunication. The bishop said that she was automatically excommunicated, which is in direct conflict with Holy Scripture. The purpose of excommunication, Bob says, is not punishment. It is to bring the sinner back into the fold. Perhaps removing her from her position would have been appropriate, but the bishop most certainly stepped over the line. You know, I think that does kind of get to the heart of the question. If we narrow it to her excommunication, should she have been summarily excommunicated without any ability to say, what have you done? Are you repentant? It does seem to fly in the face of the whole purpose of excommunication given us in Matthew 18, where Jesus talks about this, what you do with someone who has sinned against you. The church has extrapolated this to what does the church do with someone who is living in manifest unrepentant sin? Sounds like she wasn't even contacted to see whether or not she was repentant of what she had done. Kylie in Jackson, Wyoming says, there is clearly a violation of the first commandment that gave way to the fifth being broken, that is, you shall not kill, as well. However, if she had not been given the opportunity to repent and confess, then the Roman Catholic Church once again usurps Scripture with their canon law. Along the same lines, Kylie, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Wyoming. Joyce is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. This is one of the things about the Catholic Church that really, really gets me upset. I used to be Catholic, and actually I thought the rule for the Catholic Church was that you could do an abortion only in the extreme circumstance to save the life of the mother. But I look at this nun who had an agonizing decision and who did what she thought was the best thing, and then they don't even give her a chance to explain herself. And what about all these people like Ted Kennedy and Nancy Pelosi who go to church and get communion, and Ted Kennedy buried from the Catholic Church with a big eulogy from a Catholic priest? I just think there is just so much of talking out of both sides of the mouth in the Catholic Church that's one of the reasons why I left the Catholic Church.
Joyce, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. The inconsistency is something that was also brought up in the NPR piece. What about pedophile priests? Who some of us believe, golly, if you're going to summarily excommunicate anybody, not that anyone should be summarily excommunicated, but if you're going to, they would be first in line. And she also mentions other inconsistencies here. Now look, perhaps the bishop's heart is in the right place. What he wants to do is protect the unborn. He cannot. And if I were a Roman Catholic bishop, I would have that rule. No abortions in our hospitals. But she's summarily excommunicated when she permits one in hard cases make bad law, but it is a hard case, and she did what she thought was best and was summarily excommunicated. Do you think it was the way to go? 1-877-623-MYIE. Let's see. Adam in Canada says, Matthew 18 has to do with personal offenses against another brother. If a church member is openly murdering someone, whether another Christian or not, excommunication is an obvious and loving means of discipline. It isn't as if she needed to go to counseling session with the child she permitted to be killed. He doesn't get a chance to reconcile with her. Well, I don't know if that's the way that the church has normally applied Matthew 18. This isn't was a sin committed against this child and this mother, by the way, in that the abortion was permitted. Yes. But Matthew 18 has also been applied to the church's practice of excommunication, and that is, normally, and I would think that Christ's admonition in Matthew 18 would always call for an attempt to seek repentance for what someone has done. Edward in DeWitt, Michigan says, given the facts that are reported by National Public Radio, it seems that what the hospital should have done its best to save both mother and child. I would bet that the public isn't even being given all the facts, but that this case is being used to say, see, there is a legitimate case for abortion when the health of the mother is concerned. Well, that could be. That could be. And we have only the story to go on. Irene, via email, says this woman could have gone to a different hospital to get the abortion. It sounds like a straw man argument to raise the issue on something that something else can happen. I don't think there's any evidence at this point that anyone was trying to test the waters. Sounds like a woman who was legitimately ill, doctors who were recommending what they thought was best, and an administrator who felt she had no choice. Should she have been excommunicated? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying any of it is justified. But the question is, should she have been excommunicated for doing this? I wouldn't want to be in her shoes. My inclination would have been to say the teaching of the church is that we put both mother and child into God's hands. And that as much as the doctors want to solve this problem, here's where their various administrations cannot be used to take anyone's life. Diane says, the story is a bit muddled on what actually occurred. A medical treatment can be licit if, while attempting to treat the mother, the unborn child dies, even if the child's death is likely or even probable, such as in some methods of treating ectopic pregnancies. As long as it is not directly willed, it is not actually an abortion. However, you can commit some acts by which you remove yourself from communion with the church and with God, such as performing or consenting to an abortion. The bishop is declaring what has already happened, not imposing a penalty. I guess I'd have to look up Roman Catholic canon law to see whether or not this is actually called for. Someone who does something that automatically, just by the very act itself, removes someone from communion with the church. Gregory in Alabama says, I'm torn between this very hard case. Excommunication is not a punishment per se. It is a recognition by the church, he says, I'm not Catholic, as to a person's state in relationship to the church. The catechism clearly speaks of it as a penalty. But if the person excommunicated is, in fact, in a state of sin, which has not been repented and confessed, and from which he has not been absolved, then he is guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. See Corinthians 5 and 11. In the small called articles, that would be in the Lutheran Confessions, writes Gregory in Alabama, Christian excommunication is this. Open and hard-hearted sinners are not to be admitted to the sacrament and other communions of the church until they amend their lives and avoid sin. End quote. And in the Large Catechism, quote, those who are lewd and immorally loose must be told to stay away. They are not prepared to receive the forgiveness of sins. And, quote, those who live in an unchristian way receive the sacrament to their hurt and damnation. The question, then, is whether the nun in question is an unrepentant sinner. And that boils down to whether she sinned in what she did. I don't know. I can see the arguments both ways, says Gregory in Alabama. And then finally here, Pat says, did this particular nun have a history of challenging the tenets of the Catholic Church? We do not know. If so, that may explain the promptness of the excommunication. Would you want to be in her shoes? I wouldn't. What do we do? When by our action, we may be allowing mother and child to die, or by doing something. And the only thing the doctors thought they could do here was perform an abortion and then perhaps save the life of the mother. We do not do evil that good may result. There are times when there is a choice between the lesser of two evils. But in the case of an abortion, we do not take one life to save another. Someone may voluntarily give their life to save another, but we do not take one life to save another. And you know, the Roman Catholic Church is absolutely right that the act of abortion is intrinsically evil. That is, there is no circumstance in which it is not evil. There is no circumstance that justifies it or that removes the nature of evil from it. It is intrinsically evil, and they are right. Now, did the bishop act rightly in excommunicating her? No. even if he is aghast at her actions, even if she has broken every rule in the book, even if she has acted willingly here, the church, regardless of canon law, the church needs to seek repentance of a sinner. That's what I would hope the church does with me, seeks repentance before cutting me off from communion with the church. We always seek repentance. In fact, the whole goal of Matthew 18, the sedes doctrina, the biblical basis for excommunication, which is a good and godly practice, by the way, and churches should still exercise church discipline. Matthew 18 makes the whole goal the repentance of the brother, the repentance of the sinner, because we are all sinners in need of this kind of repentance. Tomorrow, we'll talk with Colleen Carol Campbell about pro-life feminism, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.